looking at the subject under the influence, and just something that the Lord spoke to me and just brought some things alive on the inside, how everybody is under the influence of something. And what determines the influence we're under is what we've subjected ourselves to, or what we've been subjected to. And what I want to look at this evening is to begin with godly influence. And let me define godly influence from the perspective of this study. It's influence that comes indirectly from God. Everybody in here has had some type of godly influence in your life. That's why you're here. You understand? Godly influence comes from imperfect people. Have you noticed that? But those imperfect people actually love God, and they want others to experience either personal relationship with the Lord or a more intimate fellowship with the Lord. And so they influence us to draw near to God. And people who influence others to love and serve God are actually demonstrating a godly influence. I think in my personal life, you know, there are certain people that stand out in my life that had influence over me and probably didn't realize that they were having influence over me at the time, because I wasn't necessarily going in the right direction. But yet, I got the message. You with me? I got the message. You got the message, didn't you? And maybe it took more than one person. But being around people, I can't thank God enough for being brought up in a home that put tremendous emphasis on the Lord. And everything wasn't perfect, everything wasn't right, but there's one thing for certain. Both my dad and my mom loved the Lord. There was no question about that. And they walked in the light they had, and that influenced me. Now, I'd like to tell you that, you know, from the very beginning, that we just walked in the paths of righteousness, but I would have to tell the truth and say we walked in the path of unrighteousness, but I never forgot the training. Train up a child in the way he should go. And when he's old, I like to say it this way, he can't get away from it. It'll haunt you. You understand? And I mean that in a positive way. But preachers and teachers and godly saints are to influence people for the Lord, and they do this with godly instruction or with godly counsel. And when I say godly, I'm talking about what God would do, instructions that God would give, counsel that God would give, ministering through the gifts of the Spirit, or just being a godly example in front of people. You know, just here recently in the last few weeks, we buried my dad's brother, and obviously I can remember him from the time I was old enough to remember, because I was always around him. And I spent a lot of time at his house as a kid growing up, and then I actually worked with him for a while, went to church with him. And I stood there and I thought, you know, at the funeral, I was just thinking, he'll never know, unless the Lord has records of it, he'll never know how good of an example that he was to me. He He was not a weak man in any way, but he would let a boy be a boy, and yet he knew how to pull the reins. And as far as his work goes, he wanted it perfect or close to it. So you did it right or you did it over. His life, even though he didn't preach to me, he just lived a good life in front of me. And it has influence. What kind of life are we living in front of other people? See, we're influencing other people. Some people taught us bad habits. You understand? But there's others that have taught us good habits. Everyone who's born again has had godly influence in their life. Someone led us to Jesus. Now, it was either through, it could be a message that somebody's preaching, sitting in what we call a church service, somebody witnessing to you, or a book, or some other method. But someone had influence over your life to bring you to the Lord, or to bring you to a place to where you made a decision for the Lord. That's godly influence. Then I look at that and I have to ask myself, if someone's watching me, if I'm influencing someone's life, am I taking them closer to the Lord? Am I leading them to the Lord? Am I leading them away from the Lord? This uncle I just told you about, he told me many, many years ago, he said, there's someone watching you. And he said, they're really looking at you as an example. And he said, I want you to think about it. They didn't go any further than that. But that was all I needed, because that was a very sobering thought, that you either leading someone in the right direction or the wrong direction. You can teach them to pray or to cuss. You understand? Just for them hanging around you. That wasn't the case incidentally, but just thought you'd understand that, okay? Then there's a human influence. The human influence is when another human being influences another human being, or when one human being influences another human being to think or to say or to do something. And we've all been under human influence. For instance, a dare. I dare you. I double dare you. What happens? We come under an influence that often will cause us to do something we really didn't want to do in the first place. They call it peer pressure, right? But all it is a tremendous influence on you. And a human influence is external. The appeal is always to the natural man. Okay? And a good biblical example of this, and it's not always a negative thing, okay? When Jesus said that one of his disciples would betray him, remember that John was leaning over on his chest, and Peter asked John to ask Jesus who would betray him. And John asked Jesus. Peter influenced John to ask. You ever done that? How about you asking something? You influence somebody to do something for you. That's a human influence. And human influence operates daily through family, through friends, or through salesmen or advertisement or lobbyists in Congress. What are they trying to do? They're trying to influence somebody to make a decision in their favor. Any salesman is trying to influence you for his benefit. You understand? He's wanting the money. And so some of them use some unscrupulous tactics, and even down to the point of just downright lying, to influence you to do something. Now, human influence can actually develop or destroy a relationship. And you can see this with family. You know, Jesus said, "You think I came to bring peace on earth?" He said, "I actually came to bring a sword to set up variance or to divide a house with the Word of God." That's the sword. To where some are going to take the Word and go with it, and others in the house are going to reject the Word. And when you have one member of the family embracing the Word and one member of the family rejecting the Word, it divides the house. You understand? And then there can be other members of the family trying to influence you to compromise the standard that God's put on the inside of you. I've been subjected to family influence. Even my own mama. You understand? Always take your stand with God and don't move. Don't compromise. When God has told you to do something, do it if nobody agrees with it. You do what God's told you to do. Don't let family or friends influence you otherwise. Many fights have been started or churches have been split because of human influence. You know what gossip is? Human influence. One person trying to influence another person against whatever. That's negative. Right? Why not influence people to do what's right? And when someone comes to you with gossip, don't get involved in it. Don't engage in it. I know years ago, I was at a place and some people were talking about a particular person, and this went on for a little while, and then someone asked me what I thought. I said, "Well, I think we ought to pray for you." And I'll do the praying. And I did, and it shut it up. You understand? Instead of letting them influence you, you influence them. And we've got to learn to do that, but we need to follow the Spirit when we're doing that, make sure that our influence is a godly influence, not just human. You understand? Many people have made bad decisions because of human influence. I have, and you have. I've done things that I wouldn't have done because someone influenced me to do that. Now, today I would handle that a little differently. But when you don't know the Spirit of God and things of the nature of the Word of God, you can fall for bad influence. You'll take you in the wrong direction. God's will and God's ways have been ignored and abandoned because of human influence. If I would have listened to the influence of humans early on when I went into the ministry, I wouldn't have gone into the ministry. Or I would have just been locked in to some little mold and like everybody else and missed God a million miles. There's a difference between godly influence and human influence. Godly influence comes through human beings, but all human beings won't influence you godly. And we need to distinguish in all that. And then there's demonic influence. That's just influence in the flesh to do ungodly or devious deeds. Do you understand? That's what demonic influence is. And this influence comes through thoughts that have been interjected into our minds as a result of subjecting ourselves to some form of ungodly influence. Demonic influence comes through humans. So, there could be a godly influence, just human influence, ungodly, or there can be demonic influence that comes through human beings. Now, let's go back to Peter. Peter had used human influence on John to find out who's going to betray Jesus, right? But then when Peter opposed the death of Jesus, Jesus talking about going to Jerusalem to die, Peter was under demonic influence. Now here's how I know that, and all you have to do is look at Matthew chapter 15, verses 21 through 23, because Jesus said, "Get behind me, Satan." Now this demonic influence, I want you to listen to this, this demonic influence was working through a close friend of Jesus. Think about it. Well, how about Judas, who betrayed him? Interesting, isn't it? When Saul persecuted the church, he was under demonic influence, and this demonic influence was actually working through the religious system, persecuting the Christians. Now, the thing about demonic influence is that it can lead to an obsession, which can actually go to a possession. And you definitely don't want to be yielding to any type of demonic influence. The whole purpose of godly discipline is to train one to resent demonic influence. I wish I could get this across to all the parents in the world and all the grandparents in the world, that the whole purpose of discipline a child is to teach them to resist the devil. Because it's interesting, have you ever heard of the terrible twos? Satan doesn't wait till they get old. He starts young. He starts working with them down here. And when you yield to them, what you're doing is allowing them to submit to an influence that as they grow older, they'll continually submit to and get them into stuff they don't need to be in. And so when you discipline a child, you're training that child resist that thought to do wrong. You follow me? And so you have to make the penalty more severe than the crime if you want to stop the crime. I paddled my grandson one time. That's all it took. And he remembers it today. You understand? It didn't do brain damage. He's not under psychiatric care. I'll tell you what it did. It taught him to resist the temptation to do what he was doing. I just let him know he wasn't going to bring the devil in my house. And then what he was doing was under the influence of the devil. And he could either change or I was going to help him. And I had to help him. But he changed. Do you understand? If you don't do that, you do the child an injustice. Teach them early on to resist. I thank God for the training that I had growing up. When I went into the military, I mean, I was 18 years old. You understand? And I am away from home. There's a lot of things you could do, a lot of ways you could go, you understand, especially when you're there with other 18-year-olds that or 20 years old that, you know, wild as a buck. But I was trying things, and it set something on the inside of me. It set a standard on the inside of me that kept me from doing what they were doing. One of the things was alcohol. My dad was adamant against alcohol because of his father. I think that was one of the big reasons. And probably because of a grandfather. That was moonshiner. We all have a history, you understand. I was never, the opportunity and the temptation was there, but I never wanted to yield to that. And I fully credit the training that I had at home to that, to resist it. Do you understand? The godly influence was more prevalent than the demonic and human influence that was coming at me. Subject your children to the Scripture. Subject your children to the Spirit. Subject them to prayer. You with me? Because if you're not subjecting them to godly things, they're going to be subjected to ungodly and even demonic things. And it will affect their life. I'll promise you, there's no neutral zone. Now thank God there's a divine influence too. And the divine influence comes from the inside. The other influences have come from the outside. Now Satan can, if you keep yielding and yielding, he can possess you. But the influence starts from the outside with all these. God deals with the heart. God never appeals to your flesh to do anything. No enticements. Well, I hadn't thought about this, but this just dropped in me right then. Many of the ministers today are using enticements to get people to come to their meetings or their churches by telling them all the perks that God has. That is an appeal to the external man. That's an appeal to the flesh. God never makes an appeal to the flesh. God always appeals to the Spirit. Might want to make a note of that one in your mind. Because if they're appealing from a natural thing, something that's appealing to your flesh, you can rest assured it's not God. God's going to speak to your heart. Those who believe God's Word and Spirit more than any other thing are under divine influence. When you subject yourself to the Word, when you subject yourself to the Holy Spirit, you are under divine influence. And when the Word of God and the Spirit of God makes their appeal, it's going to be to the inward man, and it will always be to obey God. And when you obey God through that influence, then it's a divine influence. It's come into fruition in your life. You think about this. Jesus lived His earthly life under the divine influence of His Father. Always did what He saw His Father do. Always made his decisions by what he heard. He stayed subjected to divine influence, and the result of that was he lived and died without sin. You understand that Jesus defeated the devil before the cross? Because had he not overcome the devil, there would have been no use to have nailed him to the cross. The cross was a sacrifice for us. He defeated sin for us at the cross. But for himself, he defeated sin in his lifetime by never yielding to it. A lot of people overlook that. Jesus lived his earthly ministry, the entirety of it, under the influence of his Father, and he's wanting us to live this earthly life under the influence. The body of Christ should be under the divine influence of its head, the Lord Jesus Christ. When Peter preached to the crowd on the day of Pentecost, he was under divine influence. There's no denying now. You understand, when he denied Jesus, he was under a human influence. He's protecting his own hide. He's listening to the wrong thoughts. But he stands up on the day of Pentecost preaching to some of the people that were obviously involved in the crucifixion of Jesus and been advocates for it, because Peter said, "You had him killed." That's divine influence, because Peter was trying to save his own hide when he denied Jesus. Now, if you want to put it this way, he's risking his life. And even when he and John are called on the carpet for healing the crippled man and forbidden to teach or preach in the name of Jesus, Peter just boldly says, "You decide whether we obey God or man." That's divine influence. You understand? And that's what God wants us living our lives under, is a divine influence. And if you submit to divine influence, you'll be led by the Spirit of God and you'll be governed by the kingdom of God. Then the will of God will be done in earth. You see that? Pretty amazing, really. Now, if you want to know what influence you're under or anyone else is under, all you have to do is look at their behavior. The new birth does not exempt one from bad behavior. Any of you ever done wrong things since you've been born again? It wasn't because you were divinely influenced. It's because we didn't listen to the divine influence. Christians can be influenced by ungodly advice or instructions, and their actions reveal the influence they're under. Man, I've seen it. I've seen it in board meetings and things. You know, I haven't always been a pastor or minister. I've sat on the other side of the desk. Boy, I've seen tempers flare, and just like the devil himself in the room. Heated arguments and all these type things. I had the leading man of an organization to say something to me, and when he did, I knew then that he was not submitted to God. And I lost my respect for him. Because he was 100% wrong. And the reason he was wrong was because of human influence. He had not listened to God. He had listened to man. He hadn't prayed. He hadn't sought the counsel of God. And when you start listening to people, you can get under bad influence. You know, you can try to arbitrate an argument. You hear this person, you hear this person. So according to this one, they're telling the truth. According to this one, they're telling the truth. Well, if their stories aren't agreeing, somebody's lying, and probably both of them. A good possibility. You understand? That's why we need to subject ourselves to God. And you can examine your own heart and know the influence you're under. You start getting irritated. That's not divine influence. Now, I know I'm stepping on everybody's toes, including mine. Okay? But we have to learn to get on top of those things. But you're probably not going to do it first time. But you discipline yourself to resist that influence. Now, life's been a journey for me. And I'm still under construction. Okay. But I can look back at how I used to be and where I am today and find that the Word of God has had tremendous influence on my life as far as the way I conduct myself. But I'm not where I want to be. Right? You know, when Peter denied Jesus, you could see what influence he was under. Now, here's the interesting thing. Peter loved Jesus. As a matter of fact, after his resurrection, Jesus is asking him three times, "Do you love me?" Peter loved him. Jesus knew Peter loved him. Well, why did he deny him? Peter loved himself more. Peter was not wanting to get killed. That's why he denied him. So what influence was he under? Not divine. And what happened when the cock crowed? He wept bitterly. The reality of the influence he was under came alive to him. And he repented. Thank God he did. Ungodly contention separated Paul and Barnabas. Acts chapter 13, God says, "Separate Paul, Barnabas and Saul for the work whereunto I've called them." But because of John Mark abandoning them on one of the journeys, Paul wasn't willing to take him on the second journey. Paul was not going to give him a second chance. Barnabas was, and what did they do? They showed the human side. They got in an argument over John Mark, and Barnabas took John Mark and sailed to Cyprus. Divided what God had put together. Human. Now later on, you'll see Paul, evidently there was some things that went on, and Barnabas evidently took John Mark under his wing like he had taken Saul under his wing with nobody having anything to do with him. And Paul writes later on, says, "Send John Mark, he's useful to me." So I guess they got those problems resolved along the way. You have to. You understand, you can't have unforgiveness on the inside. Each of us must observe our thoughts and our actions to avoid any type of ungodly influence. You may not realize this, but I'm just telling you, and I think you will be more alert to this since you've heard the message, okay? But on your job, the people that you associate with on a daily basis, whether it's your friends or whether it's just associates in a grocery store, Walmart, or whatever, you watch the spirit on them. If it's the spirit of the world, the ungodly spirit, or if it's the spirit of God, either one of them will try to influence you. And you have to put a guard up and refuse to allow the ungodly influence to pull you into that arena, like of gossip, or arguing about this, arguing about that, and just being down on everybody. You get in a negative environment, it will affect you if you don't guard your heart and get out of it. I'm telling you, your environment will have an effect on you. It will influence you if you don't get the right environment set. Now, if you set an environment, you guard your heart and protect your heart. But otherwise, people can get you all riled up. You walk into a place. I realized this back I don't know, maybe a year or so ago. I walked into a place, fine as rain, nothing bothered me. And I'm not even in the conversation, just listening to some other people's conversation, and all of a sudden I just felt that I felt anger rising up on the inside of me over something that really was none of my business. Thank God the Spirit of God showed it to me to get control of that. Like Pat was talking this morning with all these sport things. I'll guarantee you if you subject yourself to it, you're going to get mad. You're going to get upset. So why subject yourself to something that you know is going to upset you? Bad call. Umpire's blind. You know, all those type things. That's not godly influence. That's not divine influence. And you know what you're doing? You're letting the people around you see your behavior and you're influencing them with a wrong behavior. Well, I thought you was a Christian. How many times has that statement been made? And you can't counter that by trying to justify your actions. The way to counter that is just saying, God, forgive me, and I want you to forgive me for poor representation of God. We have to observe our thoughts, because those thoughts are going to lead to an action. If something is frustrating, you walk away. Get control of yourself, and then you go back to it and handle whatever the situation is. But don't let that thing cause you to do so. You know, working as a mechanic, I've seen guys throw tools across the, I mean, they throw them all the way across the shop. You're not going to do that work for me. But number one, it's just a hazard. But I had a guy working for me that got so mad he just ripped his shirt off. I said, you showed him. Yeah. Cost you money. You understand? Because you did not get on top of that and control your temper. We've all been guilty, maybe not that outlandish, but we've all been guilty of these things, and the Lord has shown us we need to take control of our thought life. Don't go there in your thinking. If you feel like you're getting mad at a situation, stop thinking about it. Walk away from it. Believe it or not, you don't have to have the last word. There is no last word. Because if you have two people that have to have the last word, it's ongoing. And it carries over to tomorrow and tomorrow. And then you've got, the longer it goes on, the more damage it does. Media is the single most influential source in the world. Ungodly media influences most of the people in the world, both saints and sinners, on a daily basis. This is divine. This is truth. This is what needs to be influencing my life. Let me ask you this. What is it to me personally to know what's going on in Russia and over here and over there? The bottom line is I'm so low on the totem pole, so to speak, that I have no influence over it whatsoever. So why is it that I think I need to know all about it? Presidents never call me for counsel. Has he you? Or the Congress or the Senate? So why get worked up over stuff? When God tells me that I'm actually a citizen of heaven, and the kingdom that is to govern my life is not the kingdom of the world, but the kingdom of God. And we don't understand that the more we subject ourselves to the kingdom of the world, the more control the world has over us. But if we start subjecting ourselves to the kingdom of God, just paying attention to the Word, paying attention to the Spirit, then we're governed by the kingdom of God, and the things of the world don't move us, because we know who's in control, and it's not the devil. But if you don't know that God's in control and things are playing out according to God's plan, and if there's something that needs to be done, God will have you praying. I don't know about you, but I did a lot of praying over that Supreme Court justice appointment that they tried to stop, and just brought out all kinds of slanderous lies against the man trying to assassinate his character. I don't know why they didn't investigate the character of those that were bringing the accusations. Then they could have got some smut, you understand. So when there's something going on out here, get on your face before God. Pray for the nation. I purposely played that song a while ago, America, While You're Sleeping. We need to wake up. We're under the wrong influence. We need to get under godly influence, divine influence, and quit listening to all this ungodly influence that's actually infiltrated the church, to where you have church-going people that are standing up and saying they're Christians, and yet they're under the influence of the world, not under the influence of God. Both the world and the church have subjected themselves to ungodly influence, and it's proven detrimental to the world, and it's proven detrimental to the church. It's interesting. I was just talking to somebody today about, they asked me a question, and the answer was, why do they do such a thing? And my answer was, they're using England as their pattern. Now, why don't they look at the history of England and see what's happened to England? When God was to the forefront in England, England was prosperous. But when they pushed God out, what kind of factor is England today? And so you want a pattern after that? I mean, you have to be brain dead to be thinking like that. We were the nation they should have patterned after when we were under God and serving God, and God's wanting us to get back under His umbrella, if you will. And I pray for this nation every day, because I want God to be the God of this nation. He is, but I want this nation to know that God's the God of this nation, and that people don't back down from that. Leadership or citizenship, either one, that we stand up and declare, this is a Christian nation. This is a nation for God. This is a nation under the influence of God. And look how many nations we have influenced for God. At one time, 90% of the gospel was coming out from the United States of America. We've had great influence, because we were under God. And God said, get back under me. Let me influence your life. And when you let me influence your life, you're going to have positive influence on other people's lives. Now, I understand there's an imposed influence. Some influences cannot be avoided. And what I mean by that is like a child being born into and reared in an ungodly environment. You know, drug addicts have children. Alcoholics have children. Criminals have children. And these children grow up in that environment. They're a victim of the environment for a while. Now, you don't have to stay under that imposed influence. Once you reach the age of maturity, and I'm talking about a legal age, then you can reject the imposed influence. You can leave. And you start calling out to God, and God will put you in the proper place to take care of you. Look at it this way. Every human being had sin imposed upon him because of Adam's sin. Right? But do we have to remain under the influence of sin? It's a choice. You understand? So, you can come out from under imposed influence if you're willing to do whatever it takes to become liberated. But that means you have to take an initiative. You can't wait for God to do it for you. You have to take the step, and God will work with you. Making right choices will liberate one from imposed influence. But we have to make the right choices. So we're having to choose between a human influence, a godly influence, ungodly influence, demonic influence, divine influence. We choose what we come under. I choose who I let influence my life. And there are some people that have zero input because it's wrong influence. There are some people that have my ear because they have godly influence. You have to draw the lines in your life over who you allow to influence you. I'm telling you, this is more serious than anyone realizes. We're either going toward God or away from God. And if you take a step toward God and two steps back, and the next day you take a step forward, you lost ground. And that's what's happening with people. The church is backed off from God. And God is wanting the church to wake up, the body of Christ, to start walking toward God. And the only way that's going to occur is to get under godly influence. So we're influenced to go in the direction God wants us to go. And when we do that, the kingdom of God will start ruling our lives. When the kingdom of God starts ruling our lives, the kingdom of God will rule in the world. But He has to rule in me before He can rule through me. And He's not going to rule in me until I come under divine influence. Well, I didn't get through. So we'll stop there and we'll pick back up with this.